We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Our next guest is one of three authors whom have written the book Healing Our Way, which is a book on the ancestral teachings of Buddhism, joy, and liberation. And today we have Dr. Gomez with us to discuss how she and her colleagues collaborated to create this book. So first question here, Maricela, how do you navigate the intersectionality of Black identity and your journey towards self-care and mindfulness? I know that's kind of like, you know, coming in hot, but, you know, just have to know.
Yeah. So let's see, the intersection of Black identity, self-care, and mindfulness,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what I have experienced is that mindfulness has allowed me to become more aware of why I need care and why I need in this body, right? In this black, brown body, why I need care. So just why a body needs care in general, just that respect of self. Mm-hmm. And then the next layer of, as this identified person, right, in this skin, why this body needs that care. So that's what mindfulness does for me. That's the intersection, is it just comes in strong and it gives me the ability and the access to actually find that what I need, right? So like in a moment, I can stop. If I'm having something going on, I can stop and I can notice, okay, what's here right now with me, right? Someone just said something that upsets me, maybe racist, maybe whatever, right? Maybe some sexist statement, or I'm in the store and someone gets waited on in front of me, right? So in that very moment, so this is real daily experiences, right? In that very, not just on the cushion, in that moment, what mindfulness does is gives me a pause, first a breath in, and now I'm seeing, okay, this just happened. So I'm naming it. This just happened. Okay, another breath in. Okay, my body is getting hot. My heart's starting to race a little bit, right? I'm seeing what this has just done in my body. So I'm noticing that there's some body effect. I'm not just in my head anymore. And I'm noticing this is going on in my body. So now, and this is all happening very fast. This is like this. This isn't like, right? And then the next breath gives me the option as an observer in my own body and in my own world of, how do I respond to this? Is this something for me in this moment to respond to? Because, you know, we can't, as black bodies, we can't respond to every assault, every microaggression, every... Right. Implicit bias, because we could just go lay down in the corner if we did that, right? Mm-hmm. We would be so exhausted. And so that what mindfulness does is gives me that option to become a carer of myself and the other person, whoever they are, right?
Now, reading this, Healing Our Way, it really, really made me think about my mom. Shout out to Reverend Mom. She always talks about, you know, healing our way, healing our way, healing our way. So let's get into the why. Why did you all choose to collaborate and write this piece, write this book?
Because of the same reason your mom's always saying healing our way, because I mean, that's the easy answer. And then, you know, so I'm not going to speak for your mom, but I'm going to speak for the experience in this body. Mm-hmm. And so there's three Black women identified people here who have lived their lives and have experienced what it means to be in that body, and are also mindfulness practitioners who have been practicing for some, you know, more than 20 years individually. So collectively looking at all those years and have benefited from it. And we have seen that in our path of practice, this thing really helps. Like, this really helps me transform this trauma. Like, I'm a more spacious person. I'm not reacting quickly. I'm not as angry. You know, my mom told me after I came back from the monastery, after being there for a year or so, not that happy about, she wasn't that happy about this new thing. And when I came back and I said, do you notice anything different about me? And she said, you're not as angry. And I said, so that's okay, right? Like, that's enough. Even if we cannot be as angry. So we, in our experience in these bodies, we have anger, you know, there's been a lot of stuff. and then if you add the intersections, right, of gendered and all this, like, it all adds up. So the three of us have had these experiences, these shared experiences, and also our own individual experience. And the three of us have benefited from this practice. And so Valerie Brown, actually, so Valerie Brown and Kari Jewel Lingo, the co-authors, Valerie invited one evening saying, we should write a book. And we didn't have to say anything else. We knew exactly what that meant, right? She didn't say we should write a book about this or we should write a book about this. She said, we should write a book. And we all said yes, because we all knew what that meant. Right. When Black people start to heal, when Black people feel that healing and the effect of that healing in our bodies and our ability to be in a different way in the world, we know we have to share it. Right.
Yeah.
The more you know, the more you owe. Right. And so this is why we wrote this book. Yeah.
And for those people, you touched on it a little bit, but for those people dealing with said anger, when dealing with those microaggressions, when they're in a moment like, wait a minute, was that racist? And they start, you know, they start to get gaslit, you know. What do you say to those folks, what to do with that anger in that moment?
Yeah, it's a really important question. What do we do with our anger? Is we have to, first of all, know that we're angry and not let the anger take control of us, right? Because when we're angry and we go off on our anger, we've just let something else control us. We've just let someone's reaction toward us tell us how we're going to be and who we're going to be in that moment. And so so anger shows up in us, right? So in that moment, we need to know, okay, I'm angry now. It's like I was saying earlier. This is happening right here. Okay, I'm angry now. All right. Once we are aware of our anger, it starts to take all the control of just being that one emotion. None of us want to just be that emotion that's showing up in the moment,
right?
Because that means we're no longer in control. So once we breathe and we're aware, hey, I'm angry right now. Okay, another breath. Okay, how am I going to take care of this? Like, am I going to respond from anger, or am I going to respond from a place where I'm not letting anger dictate my words and what I'm going to do in this moment? So if we want to give up our control, then we respond from that moment right in the anger. But if we want to be aware and we want to respond from the whole of who we are, so what anger does is it diminishes the rest of who we are, as if we're not all these other things, and it takes over. So if we want to always respond from the fullness of who we are, the beauty of who we are, the truth and the fullness of the authentic self that we are, then we can't let one emotion dictate who we are in any moment, because then it minimizes all of us, all of who we are.
Oh man, that is beautiful. My goodness. Did you learn all of this from the Zen master?
I did.
So can you tell us about that experience? Because we always hear it in pop culture. Oh, well, yeah, this is my Zen moment. This is my moment of Zen. I had reached Zen. What does that exactly mean?
Yeah, no, I know people are like, I'm zenning right now.
right.
Yeah. And, you know, Zen is really this, it's about pausing. It's about, that's why I keep saying a breath, taking a breath. So in that moment of stillness, we become to know ourselves more. We become to know ourselves better. So in that one breath, right? So the teacher that we all speak about in this book, Zen Master Thich Nhat Hanh, he is a real Zen master, right? But we're all Zen masters when, and this is his teachings, we're all Zen masters when we stop, breathe, and become aware of what it is that we're doing in that moment. That ability to be present for what we're about to do would change the world. Like, how many times do we do something or say something and later, when we're not as angry or not as sad or not as raging, we're like, man, I wish I hadn't done that, you know? Because in that moment, we let that emotion take us over, right? So a Zen moment is just that, right? It's this where, it's this taking control back of our most authentic selves, right? So one breath brings us there, right? And now, as I said, we're touching still all of who we are and not just that one thing. That's a Zen moment, that ability to, in that moment, be fully aware. Is this what I want to say? And while we're saying it, do I want to keep saying it? And when we're done saying it, do I want to repeat that or do I want to change that? Like all that awareness happens. And then we become the people we really want to be, not the people who someone makes us to become because we are acting out of that emotion that they triggered. That's what Zen is.
Our guest today is Maricela Gomez, one of three authors of Healing Our Way. And we just got finished discussing the Zen master and what exactly is Zen. So for those folks listening at home, what framework matter of fact, let me ask you this. How do authors like yourself balance vulnerability and strength in this discussion when talking about self-care and liberation?
How do we balance?
How do you balance vulnerability and strength when discussing self-care and liberation?
Wow, that's a really deep question, right? Because for Black folk, for Black and Brown folk, for BIPOC folk, at least the way I got it, we have to always be strong, right? We gotta be tough. We gotta, we're almost reared to know that we have to be strong in order to survive in the world. Then being vulnerable is actually can get us in trouble sometimes, we're told, right? Like leaving yourself open, this kind of openness might get us in trouble. So balancing vulnerability and strength, I feel this was a really hard lesson for me, having been on the side of strength, tough. This is how we do it. Keep it moving. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be prepared. Just from the history of experiences and the ancestors' history, but the ancestors also taught us about love. Bell hooks, right? Taught us about love. Toni Morrison taught us about love. Sojourner Truth taught us about love as well, and this ability to stay open, to be spacious enough to see everything that's there, not just the thing that might be sometimes most apparent or prominent. So we're not, like right now we're in a world that is acting very out of sorts, and that's a mild way of putting it. And a lot of us are feeling that we have to be strong if we're going to get through this. We don't know what the future holds in November. And these kinds of times make us close down, like, and literally, you know, I do my body like this because it's literally closing down our hearts and shutting people out, right? And in fact, during these times is when we actually need to spread our shoulders, open our chest wide, and try to bring the heart to the front. Because the reason we're here is because there's been so much, quote, strong-arming and, quote, toughness and tough and crime, right? All that stuff has gotten us into a really bad place. And so if we actually move from a place of spaciousness, openness, inclusivity, the ability to actually listen deeply to what people are saying and not just what we think they're saying, or not just what we've been told that someone who looks like this is saying or is always going to be saying, but starting to open our heart where we start to listen not just to what is being said, but what's not being said, and start to give open to the possibility of what might be there as well as what we have been taught is going to always be there. So we're basically, and I mean, it comes back to your mom again. We're always, like your mom should be here with us. we're always in healing, because that's what healing does. Healing gives us the spaciousness, the ability to stay open, right? Because that's who we authentically are. I mean, we are beautiful, strong, and vulnerable, and open-hearted people who always want to love. We always want to love, right? And yet, for some of us, we have closed that down because we've been hurt, and we've been trained to protect ourselves, to be strong. And so I think unlearning that, and I'm not being, you know, I'm not saying be a pushover and all, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, what I keep referring to is being able to be everything of who we are in any one moment. So in one moment, can I be strong and can I be vulnerable, right? And that's what happens when we don't let one thing take us over, because then we allow the fullness of all of who we are. So we are both strong and vulnerable. We're both inclusive, and we know right now this is not going to work here. But we can include this part of it, right? So it's like bringing in all the aspects that's out there and not shutting down to any because we've tightened ourselves to the world.
Now, with this book, what messages did you want to convey to the readers? Was there a specific tone, a specific thing that you wanted the readers to glean from this?
Yeah, the lesson here is, if you have been dealing with some hard stuff in your life, if you think that it's not possible that we can feel better, that we're stuck in the past about who I've been told I am, I feel inferior to everybody else, and there's hard things I'm dealing with, this book is for you, because what it does is three people saying, hey, I was there too, and here's what happened. And another person saying, and I had something similar, and here's how I did it. So this book is really about, that's why it's called Healing Our Way Home. It's the understanding that we are in healing. We are healing and our home is when we come to realize that everything that we already want or think we need is already here. It's already here. It's just, we've so been taught to think that we're not enough, that we need to get this thing to be just this degree, this job, this person, this clothing, this whatever. And the healing our way home is saying, you know what, you're enough right here. And here's how, and here's why. And all this pain that we want to transform, that it's possible. We can do this. We can really do this. And when we're in communities that support us and hold us, who have those similar values, we can do it together. So it's not just our liberation that we're after, but we're after this collective liberation as well.
I love that. I love that. So for the person that is listening at home that has had their joy stolen from them, them reading this book, what do you hope they pick up?
I hope that they pick up that joy is always accessible.
Mm.
That it's always accessible. It has to do with how we're taking care of the difficulty. Because that's what I've learned, is that there's joy. You know, one moment I can turn to a tree or a flower, and in that moment, if I can see the beauty of that red flower, I get a smile on my face.
Mm.
And just that moment, that's a moment of joy that's just like replenished all my cells in my body. My heart opened for a moment, and in that moment, I had joy. And then I turn to the next thing that I'm about. So joy is always available. It's always accessible. It's whether or not we remember to really be present for everything that's there. For this plant that's there, can I notice the new shoots that are coming out? And can I smile at that? Right? Can I be present for that? Mm. As well as I can be present for the computer and the things that are there that I need to do. But every moment there's an opportunity for joy. You know, just looking up at the sky, I'm like, wow, it's really beautiful today. Just like that. And it adds up, right? It adds up and it starts to shift our whole nervous system. And then it starts to calm down. And in that spaciousness and in that calm, we get to be more present for what is there, for our loved one, for our partners, for our kids, our parents, our friends, even our enemies, we can be more present for. Because then we'll really see what's the root of why they're acting the way they're doing. And we can strategize in a very, very different way than if we strategize from anger and being locked up.
Well, I will tell you this, Maricela, I am I'm a better person from this conversation with you. I cannot wait for our readers to read this book. I have something on this show. When I hear something, I always say, put it on a shirt. And when you said joy is always accessible, that is one of those things that you definitely got to put it on a shirt, because that is so true. Joy is always accessible. I absolutely love that. So for the folks listening at home, Healing Our Way Home, how can they find the book? Where can they find the book? Where can they purchase this at?
Yeah, they can find it anywhere books are sold. It's everywhere. And the publisher is Parallax. So if you wanted to go to the publisher, it's Parallax Press, and you can get it there. But really anywhere that you would buy a book, you can find Healing Our Way.
Healing Our Way Home. Maricela, I want to thank you for coming on the Spark and just giving us the game on mindfulness and helping me and the listeners get our Zen centered. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Marquis.